Welcome to Slab Reliability, the show where we learn about SRE and observability one week at a time. I'm your host, Stephen Townsend. Welcome back to Slab Reliability. I'm Stephen Townsend, and this is the show where we learn about SRE and observability one episode at a time. I know my release schedule has been a bit all over the place, but I'm here now. Let's do this. Let's talk about SaaS, Software as a Service. The organization that I work for has a technology strategy to move to a SaaS-first model. So that is, for anything that is not a key differentiator, that we go out and purchase external services for our technology. And for an insurance company, most technology fits into that category. Whether you agree or not with that as a technology strategy, it doesn't really matter, because at the end of the day, I think that we can all agree that the concept of a software system or software solution has changed. A solution now is more often than not a collection of external services that we glue together. And it's the ways in which we glue those services together into chains which creates unique products and services. So what does this mean for SRE? How do we effectively operate a service that is made up of a collection of third-party services? Does the work of SRE change in this context? Does SRE even apply in this context? Full disclosure, today is about asking questions. I don't have the answers, but I sure as hell need to figure some of this stuff out as quickly as possible, because it is shaping and directing the nature of everything I'm trying to do in my work and in the organization. In saying that, here are some observations that I've made in the last 6 months. Number one, observability is really hard in a SaaS world. As an example, the backbone of modern observability, in my mind, is distributed tracing. But how do you capture an end-to-end trace of your solution when half of the solution is SaaS and you can't install agents or import libraries to emit spans? Another example is custom instrumentation. How can we specify all that super important context-specific information in tags or metadata when we have no ability to annotate or modify the code of our services? Now, you might think of a SaaS service as something simple, something small that you call and you get a response from as part of a wider solution. I'm working in a world where SaaS can be a lot more. I'm talking about entire systems of record, which are in the cloud hosted by a vendor and we don't have a lot of control over. So not only are we calling services in the cloud services is then calling services within the wider organization as well. That's really complicated. Something which I have been doing is talking to our vendors and encouraging them to support OpenTelemetry and having the ability to emit spans and other telemetry out of the box so that we can build that ecosystem-wide or solution-wide observability and get end-to-end tracing. How magic would that be? Pay for a product you know that it can support firing off and emitting all the telemetry data that you need so that you can do whatever you want with it. That would be powerful. Something else is I'm talking to architects. Is there some way that we can re-architect our solution so with some sort of pattern so that there's always, I don't know, as an example, some kind of user interface or API layer that sits in front of all SaaS services, and so that we at least have that top level and control over that in terms of capturing spans and other telemetry data. So there might be black holes, areas that we can't see, but at least from the top level, we always can capture the end-to-end response time and error rates and those kinds of things, and passing headers and everything else through so that we'll have patches of visibility throughout. It's not perfect, but there must be ways that we can design our ecosystems and our enterprises in a way which is going to be better than just being blind. Number two is on-call incident response and production support. So I saw an operational readiness strategy recently, and in the strategy, level 3 support was the vendor themselves because it was a cloud-based solution. So what does that mean for SRE? No longer is there some expert within the organization who's the person who's called to solve some kind of issue or outage, you raise a ticket to the vendor. Wow, that completely changes things in my mind about how we handle incidents and production support. And because we no longer have control over the code, and we're much less visibility as well into what's going on, do we end up going back to the old days of a dedicated operations team who were not close to the code or the software because the software is owned and maintained by an external vendor? And is that a step back into the past? Number three is our ability to predict and control reliability when we're chaining together a bunch of SaaS services. SaaS services, they have an SLA they sign up for. Do they meet it? Are we checking that our vendors are meeting the SLAs? But the more important thing is the maths about, say you've got 10 SaaS services that you're chaining together. What's the overall availability that provides? And it really comes down to architecture and how we design the integrations that hold those things together and what sort of redundancy do we build into it. So Steve McGee, who came on the show quite a while ago, talked about in most organizations, the way that we architect is that if you want to have really high availability for a customer-facing service, then each layer underneath that, down to the hardware, needs to be even more reliable because you get sort of diminishing returns if you have a long chain of requests going down through different systems or down the stack to hardware. Then there's the upside-down pyramid model, which Google uses, where they can have very unreliable hardware because each layer above that, as an example, has contingency and redundancy built in to make it seem much more reliable than it actually is. If every layer has that, then every layer above the hardware is more available, more reliable than the one underneath it. And that's really powerful, but you have to be very consciously designing your architecture to support that. Most organizations don't do that. So maybe it's time in the SaaS world to really invest in that idea, or maybe it's not possible. I don't know. Food for thought. Number four is ownership. So traditionally, I've worked in or with teams who own a system or a set of services, which they build and they own. Maybe it's an off-the-shelf product, but they still customize it and have control over it and ownership of it. So what happens when the majority of services are third parties? What do teams own at this point? Do we have a new kind of technology team who builds and operates the glue or integration layers and points that sit between our various SaaS products and services? And what's the ownership model in that context? Teams would, of course, own the integrations and the infrastructure that connects all these SaaS services together. But what about the SaaS services themselves? Is there a bigger focus now on vendor or partner management and the relationship with our vendors? Should we be putting a new focus maybe on making sure that our vendors are meeting their SLAs, their obligations, what they sign up for in the contract? And what about the other meaning of ownership? Team members having a sense of ownership and care for the services they operate. If they have very little or no control over the nature of the services that they're being asked to operate and little ability to troubleshoot beyond raising a support case with the vendor, is that a satisfying job? Would any smart and effective engineer who wants to solve problems and be creative be willing to do what could be construed as babysitting third-party apps for a living? I'm only scratching the surface here, and I know that this is not a completely new thing. It hasn't sprung out of nowhere and suddenly everything has changed. It's been creeping up for a while, but it's only recently that my mind has really had to shift and say, okay, this is happening. We have to change the way that we work. We have to think about, in my line of work as environments manager, what does it mean for the way we manage environments in the SaaS world? Because environments cost money if they're a SaaS service. So no longer can we just spin up environments for whatever we need them for. We have to be really thoughtful and careful and drive towards using less environments and being efficient and effective. And that forces a whole bunch of changes in the way that we work and the way we do version controlling and merging of code and branching or testing and automation, handling test data, all kinds of things. That's interesting and fascinating topics. I'm really looking forward to exploring them So that is all from this episode of Slight Reliability. I have a lot more I want to say about it. I did want to do a small plug for my blog. So as I've talked about before, I'm not working purely in an SRE capacity. I want to make Slight Reliability about SRE and observability and keep it that way. So for those other things, I'm thinking about organizational structure and culture. I'm going into sort of management, people leadership as well. To explore those ideas, I've got a blog on Medium called Bleeding Tech. It only has one article so far, currently writing the second. But if you were interested in following that other kind of work, if that's interesting to you, then check it out. And I'll put a link in the description to this episode. But otherwise, that's all from another episode of Slight Reliability. Got a couple of interviews in the not too distant future for you. Hope you have a wonderful week, month, or however long it takes me to release another episode, and I'll see you next time.